A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
Words Appear, a Netflix comedy special. Ricky Gervais, Supernature.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome to the stage a man who really doesn't need to do this. Ricky Gervais.
A packed audience in a two-story theater claps as pink spotlights circle on a stage. A 40-something stocky man with short, dirty blonde hair walks on stage. He wears a black t-shirt and jeans. He smiles broadly at the crowd, waving.
Hello. Hello. Thank you. Shush. Thank you very much. Shush. No. Shush. Thank you, but shut the fuck up. No fucking whooping or just laugh. But shush. Everyone calm down. Shush. Shush. I'm filming this. Shut up, you cunts.
He gestures with both hands for them to settle down.
Thank you very much. Welcome to my show. It's not a show. There's no dancers or jugglers. It's basically a bloke talking, which is essentially what stand-up comedy is, isn't it? A bloke talking. Sexist.
He points at an audience member wearing a mock disgusted expression.
What about all the funny female comedians? Like, No. Right. No. I'm not doing that. Okay, right. That was irony, OK? There's going to be a bit of that throughout the show. See if you can spot it, OK? Now, that's when I say something I don't really mean for comic effect, and you as an audience, you laugh at the wrong thing because you know what the right thing is. It's a way of satirising attitudes. Like that first joke, I used the old-fashioned sexist trope that women aren't funny. Now, in real life, I know there are loads of funny women. Like,
Ricky smiles.
I did it again. Well spotted. Good. No, but there are. Dame Edna Everage.
He holds up his hand, then gives two thumbs up.
Eddie Izzard.
He shrugs, gesturing uncertainty.
She's brilliant, isn't she? She's not only a great comedienne, she's also a great actress, isn't she? She was brilliant in that thing as that man.
He stares at the floor, laughing.
Good to be back.
He paces back and forth.
I fell back in love with stand-up on my last tour, Humanity. I played arenas around the world. Netflix bought it for a record amount. It was the most watched special of the year. I thought, everyone loves me now. Everyone loves me now. Then I got this tweet.
He pulls out his cell phone.
Real tweet.
He reads.
Call yourself a comedian. He knows I do.
He stares straight at the audience.
Literally says the word in my Twitter bio.
He holds his fingers an inch apart.
Call yourself a comedian, you're about as funny as... Now, I thought he was going to go for the jugular and say Miranda, or... Come on.
He shrugs, smiling.
Come on, guys, don't...
He holds out his hand, begging forgiveness.
I'm joking. Right.
He continues reading from his phone.
Call yourself a comedian, you're about as funny as a fart at a baby's funeral.
He shakes his head, wearing a grim face.
He was trying to hurt my feelings. But his big mistake was choosing something that would be fucking hilarious. As if that would... A fart at a baby's funeral. Big echoey church. Everyone just silently sobbing like that. Tiny little coffin.
He gestures a tiny box.
And someone farts. You'd laugh.
He points at the audience.
Even if it was your baby. You know, no. If you're at the funeral, it's been dead a week. Do you know what I mean?
He waves dismissively.
You're probably up for a giggle. Particularly if you're the father. If you're the mother, you probably still find it hard seeing the funny side of things.
He rolls his eyes.
Oh, women.
He raises both hands defensively.
Not all women. I mean the old-fashioned ones. You know, the old-fashioned women. Oh, God. You know, the ones with wombs. Oh.
Ricky pretends to yawn.
Those fucking dinosaurs. No, I love the new women. I know the new women. They're great, aren't they? You know, the new ones we've been seeing lately. The ones with beards and cocks. They're as good as...
He hand gestures a penis.
They're as good as gold. I love them. No, it's the old-fashioned... And now the old-fashioned... They go like, oh, they want to use our toilets. Why shouldn't they use your toilets? For ladies. They are ladies. Look at their pronouns.
He raises his eyebrows emphatically.
What about this person that isn't a lady? Well... His penis.
He points to the imaginary woman.
Her penis, you fucking bigot!
He wears a frustrated, wide-eyed expression. Ricky shakes his head, then adopts a worried expression.
What if he rapes me? What if she rapes you? You fucking turf whore!
He shakes his fists in anger, sarcastically. He laughs, pacing to his right.
But that tweet sums comedy up, doesn't it? How subjective it is. How one person, some people can find them hilarious, some people can find them the least funny person in the world. And when someone says to me about another comedian, they say, oh, they're not funny. Even if I agree with them, I stand up and I say, well, you can't say that. You've got to say, you don't find them funny, you know? And I hate it when people say, that joke was offensive. I got to say, no, you've got to say, you found it offensive. Because it's all about feelings, and feelings are personal. And there's loads of types of comedy, and comedy evolves, you know? There's a new type of comedy at the moment called woke comedy, right? No, it's very progressive, you know? There are some clubs now where the comedian has to sign a thing saying he won't say anything contentious or he won't say anything that could offend anyone. It's a safe space for the audience. Woke comedy. And I tried to watch a bit of it, and I decided I'd rather watch Louis C.K. masturbate.
He signs masturbating.
Can't mention him anymore. He's cancelled. Not enough to apologise and move on. You got to... Like, poor Kevin Hart. See, Kevin Hart, he got the job hosting the Oscars. It was his best day ever. He was on Twitter going, oh, I've wanted to do this all my life, right? And then someone found these 10-year-old tweets, right? That they were sort of childish, sort of shitty, homophobic tweets. It was about his son. He was mucking around. He said, oh, my son's doing so-and-so. I hope he's not gay. There was a massive backlash. He went, oh, sorry, that sounded... I'm not homophobic, really sorry. He deleted them, right, and said, I'm really sorry. 10 years later, someone finds a screen grab and goes, look, he's done this. Oh, big... The Oscars go, oh, you've got to apologise again. He went, no, I've apologised. I can't keep apologising. And he's right. If there's no value to saying sorry and evolving, he might as well just tweet him again.
Right. He gestures, tweeting.
That's how I deal with shit. Anyway.
Ricky taps his chest.
But if you're the type of person to revel in someone getting cancelled for something they said 10 years ago, you're just ensuring that one day you'll be cancelled for something you said today. You can't predict what will be offensive in the future. You don't know who the dominant mob will be. You know, like, the worst thing you can say today, get you cancelled on Twitter, death threats, whatever, the worst thing you can say today is... Women don't have penises, right?
He wears a serious face.
Now, no one saw that coming.
He sweeps his hands through the air.
There are no 10-year-old tweets of people saying... You won't find a 10-year-old tweet of someone saying women don't have penises. Do you know why? We didn't think we fucking had to.
He furrows his brow, dumbfounded.
Liam Neeson. Oh, he nearly got cancelled, didn't he?
Ricky sips a drink.
Liam Neeson. Now, I don't know why he told this story, but he did.
He shrugs.
At a press junket to a journalist, right? And it was where he just started saying, it was 30 years ago, he said, and my friend came home and she'd been raped, right? And that's not the funny bit.
He points, motioning to wait. Ricky giggles.
He said, she'd been raped. I said, what did the guy look like? He said, he was a black guy. He said, so I got my cosh, and I went out looking for the first black guy. He said, nothing happened. I came to my senses, right? But the weird thing about that story is, who has a cosh?
He makes an incredulous face.
But it was touch and go. They cancelled the premiere that night because of the backlash and that people wanted the film to be deleted. And I get it. Some people can't separate the art form with the artist's personal life. Now, I know Liam. I've worked with him. He's a lovely man. He's definitely not racist. But when that broke, even I was like, oh, will I ever be able to find Schindler's List funny again?
He presses his palm to his forehead in mock distress.
I do still find it funny, obviously.
He takes another sip.
But now there's so much outrage and we hear about it and it's taken seriously, you know? There's Oxbridge comedians writing for the posh papers, thinking of the rules of comedy. They're laying it down, laying down the law, right? And it's all stuff like, comedy should punch up. You should never punch down. You should never punch down. Sometimes you've got to punch down. Like, if you're beating up a disabled toddler. You know what I mean?
He mimes jabbing a toddler in the face.
If you punch up, you'll miss the little cunt and he'll win, you know.
He points to the sky, then to the floor.
I like that joke because it highlights the difference between metaphorical punching down in jokes and actual punching down. But people nowadays want you to believe that words are actual violence, right? Now, you laughed at a joke about beating up a disabled toddler. No one got hurt. If I'd have actually dragged out a disabled toddler and started beating him up, you wouldn't laugh, right? That's why I dropped that bit.
He shakes his head nonchalantly.
But these people are virtue signalling. They're trying to bring people down to raise their own status. And they say it's because, no, we're protecting minorities. Like, they're basically saying minorities haven't got a sense of humour, which is so patronising. And I get that as well, to what it's like to be outnumbered. In this country, we're still only 5% black, 5% Asian, 5% LGBTQ, you know, tiny numbers. Now, I'm a white, heterosexual multimillionaire, right?
He gestures to himself with both hands. He nods, staring straight ahead.
There's less than 1% of us.
He holds out both hands, tilting his head and frowning sadly. Ricky shrugs.
Do I whine? No. Do I?
He shakes his head.
I don't mind. I just get on with it. Come on, Rick. Come on, Rick. Just keep I'm like Rosa Parks. Do you know what I mean? I'm like...
He motions boxing.
Except I fought for the right to never have to take a seat on a bus. But...
Ricky paces to his left.
Just people complain about things they don't have to watch. It doesn't affect them, you know? And, again, everyone's got the right to be offended and complain, but they've got to know that we're not trying to offend. That's not our aim, you know? We're trying to make you laugh. We're trying to give you a good time. And, you know, that is the deal, right? So I riff. If I say something tonight that's so offensive, so off that you've never heard anything so fucking off the charts in your life, right? Don't make a scene. Go to the box office after the show. They can't give you money back straight away, but there's a form you fill out with the complaint, and I take those away and I shit on them.
He mimes wiping his butt.
So that's the rules of comedy.
He smiles, walking back to have a drink. He turns to his right, pacing.
Supernature. Why supernature? Well, for two reasons. One, I want to debunk the supernatural. I don't believe in anything supernatural. I believe that anything that exists is by definition part of nature and is explainable. If not now, then eventually.
He looks upward.
Also, supernature, because nature is super enough, you know? It's amazing that we're even here discussing it. We're the only species that allows the universe to understand itself, right? The chances of us being here at all, the chance of you being you existing now, the chance of that sperm hitting that egg is 400 trillion to one. And I think life is like a holiday. We don't exist for 13.5 billion years. Then we have these 18, 90 years if we're lucky. Then we die, never to exist again. And some people are even offended by that. They go, you can't say that. It can't be chance. It's too good. Someone must have made it all. And, you know, I'm too special. I can't just not exist. I'll live again. I'll go to heaven. I'll be with my friends and family. Or I'll come back as a spirit and I'll walk amongst you. Or I'll be reincarnated. I'll come back as someone else.
He scrunches his face.
I'd just be someone else. That's all that's happened. You're not involved. That is just... someone else. Right.
He gestures to someone else.
Many people believe in reincarnation, of course. Some people even claim they remember who they were in a previous life. There's a society in America, of course. in California, of course, right?
He nods.
And they remember who they were in a previous life. And they're always someone pretty special in their previous life. Not so much in the life they've got now.
He wears a discreet expression.
But I saw a documentary about it, and every year they have a come-as-you-were party, where they go dressed as the person they were in history.
He spreads his arms.
Two Napoleons.
He holds up two fingers.
So, at least one of them is fucking lying.
He leans towards the crowd, wearing a serious face.
No reincarnation. No ghosts. Have you seen all the Ghost Hunter shows? Oh, my God, hundreds of Ghost Hunter shows. Years and years. Celebrity Ghost Hunter. All around the world. Thousands and thousands of hours of footage. They've never seen a fucking ghost. Not what... It's all like, oh, what was that? Was it that I was just the... No, not the... What did you hear that? Was it just that? Was it you? Oh, no, no. Imagine if wildlife programs were like that. Imagine watching David Attenborough all these years, and everybody goes, here, on Kilimanjaro. We see the... Oh, there's...
He shakes his head. He bends his knee, pretending to squat down in the jungle.
And by the banks of the Limpopo, the elusive... Oh, there's not...
He stands, shaking his head and shrugs again.
You'd stop watching the cunt. I've never seen a ghost.
He stares at the ceiling.
The pedo hunter shows, on the other hand.
He raises his eyebrows, feigning renewed interest.
There's usually a couple in the crew, just in case. You know what I mean?
He motions to his side.
Particularly if it's a BBC production. Oh, shut up.
He takes a drink. He stares up at the ceiling.
There's no reincarnation, no ghost, no heaven, I believe. People can't get over that. People quiz me on Twitter when they find out I'm an atheist. They go, what, you don't believe in God at all? I go, no. Do you pray? I go, no. They go, why don't you pray just in case there's a God? And I say, why don't you put garlic over your door just in case there's a Dracula? Right? And I've got no problem with praying, you know? I know loads of nice Christians and Muslims and Jews, and if one of my family is very ill, they always say, oh, I'll pray for them. And I always say, oh, thanks very much, because it's a nice gesture. If they said, oh, we also cancelled the chemotherapy, I go, don't do that, don't do that.
He gestures no.
Pray, fill your boots, son, but let's... let's do the praying and the chemotherapy, shall we? Because that's the same result as just the chemotherapy, so let's definitely keep that one, shall we?
He gestures, holding on to something emphatically.
I got in trouble talking about praying on Twitter once. Do you remember a few years ago that terrible disaster in Oklahoma, the hurricane? People lost their lives and their livelihood, and I donated to the Red Cross, and I tweeted about it with a link saying you can donate here too, trying to help them with their drive. And one of those sort of frivolous entertainment magazines from America, their account tweeted this thing. It really annoyed me. They tweeted, Beyonce and Rihanna send prayers to Oklahoma. And I tweeted back going, oh, I feel like a cunt, I only sent money.
He squints, then stares straight ahead pointedly. He shakes his head.
Someone tweeted me once, would you come to the bedside of a dying child and tell them there's no heaven? I tweeted back, is it a paid gig? Care whether you believe or not, what you believe in, who you pray to, doesn't affect me. I just think that nature is super enough, you know? I don't think we need angels and unicorns. We've got the fucking octopus. That actually exists. 8 legs, 9 brains, 3 hearts and a beak. Make your fucking mind up. What are you doing?
He wears a look of awe.
The duck-billed platypus, a monotreme. When scientists first found that, they thought it was a hoax, because it produces eggs and milk. It could make its own custard. It doesn't, but it could.
He holds his arms open.
It could. It definitely could.
Ricky smiles at the upper balcony.
But even though we know the chances of us existing at all are astronomical and our life is so short, we waste so much of it worrying about stuff, worrying about things that might never happen, worrying about things that won't matter in a week, let alone a year or 10 years. I'm terrible. I worry. I'm a worrier. I lay awake at night thinking, oh, what if, and all that. And I hate being stressed, so I try and rule stress out of my life, which is really stressful. Because I have to have a plan A and a plan B and a plan C. And if I do all my work, I'm at home, I go, right, militant, no work, just relax, right? Just a glass of wine, just relax, right? If someone comes through the door, I'm like, what the fuck's that, right?
He grits his teeth with a tense face.
It's usually money.
He laughs, pacing.
Right. And Jane, my girlfriend, she's like, can't, let's have a look, shall we? Come. She tries to calm me down. I've been with Jane now nearly 40 years, right? And we've, thank you.
He circles his hands.
And we've always had cats, because Jane read early days that a cat will make you live longer, de-stress you, stops you having a heart attack and stroke if you're wound up. She was basically trying to save my life to get... So we got cats. We've always had cats, right? I think it works. Like, if I'm really stressed, I go, where's the cat, right? Right. First thing, wake up. What? So, no, and I stroke the cat and I'm thinking, oh, I'm stressed. Oh, look, she's so unstressed, right? And I think, oh, that's unfair, and that stresses me out a little bit. Like, because I've got the weight of the world on my shoulder. She's got nothing, no conscience, no guilt. You'll never see a cat feeling guilty. You will never go into a room and see a cat like that.
He feigns shame, looking at the floor, holding his forehead.
You go, what's the matter? Yeah, all the fucking shit in there, that's what's the matter, mate.
He points at his head.
Like what? Like that bloody mouse I killed.
He points over his shoulder with his thumb.
Probably had a family, didn't it?
Ricky nods.
I didn't have to torture it first.
He shakes his head.
They don't give a fuck. If a cat was big enough, it would kill you and eat you, right? They're the opposite to dogs, right? Yeah, this sums up the difference between cats and dogs once and for all, right? The cat has got a barbed penis.
He gestures a point.
True. Google it. Careful. Right, but... A barbed penis, right? Two reasons. One, it holds the female in place during mating, so it slides in easy, and it goes, oh, run. Oh, you can't.
He mimes a male cat being pulled forward by the pelvis.
And two, when it withdraws, that pain causes the female to ovulate. Think of a different way, mate. And that makes me think maybe there is a God, cos, I mean, maybe he did cats and dogs, cos they're... Like, he went, boom, there you go. Yeah, cats and dogs, you're... Ballpark, furry mammals, you live at home. It's a good gig, you get fed. What sort of penis were you?
He signs writing notes.
Hoping for dog. Doesn't matter. Whatever you get, it'll be the best penis ever. Whatever you... Just something that matches my onesie. Just a little,
He mimics a dog.
Maybe a little furry mound. Something lady dogs would like. A little furry mound with a little pink lipstick in it.
He mimes turning a lipstick from his crotch. He makes a pretend note.
Furry lipstick, good choice. Cat, give me a fuck stalk with hooks.
He adopts an arrogant expression, miming a cat. Ricky walks to the podium, taking a drink.
The cat is the only animal that domesticated itself. True. Just wandered into civilization about 10,000 years ago and went, meow, feed me, right? And they made the meow up for us. They don't do that in the feral state. They go, meow. They learned that we, oh, and it works. My cat, oh, I let my cat do anything it wants. Let it sleep when it wants, let it go where it wants. If we get a parcel in the post, if I undo it, right, and if she gets in the box, oh, I can't throw it away. Right, we've got about 17 all over the...
He flails his hands.
Mansion.
He glances quickly at the audience.
And if we're watching telly, me and Jane, if it gets in our lap, we think, oh, that's such a privilege, we don't move. Even if we need a wee, we don't want to disturb it. The other one gets the drinks all night, you know, oh, like... And people say to me, you spoil that cat. I go, yeah, I do, it's a cat.
He nods.
It's not a person. What's the worst that can happen if you spoil a cat? Do you know what I mean? It doesn't grow up to be fucking Boris Johnson.
He waves his hands dismissively.
No, I don't get political. Although he is out of his depth.
He stares straight ahead.
I mean, he started off by saying women in burqas look like post boxes. Now, it's not up to Boris Johnson what a Muslim woman wears on her face. It's up to her husband.
He holds his hand out to the audience with a mock deferential expression.
Not my rules. Not my rules.
He puts his hands up defensively.
This won't be in the special.
He laughs with his mouth agape, taking a drink. Ricky points, then trots away from the podium.
Edit. Yeah, cats, aren't they?
He smiles.
No, I do love cats. I really love dogs. We haven't got a dog because we travel too much usually, but wherever we are in the world, whether in New York or London, we go for a walk every day just to meet dogs in Central Park or Hampstead Heath. I know about 200 dogs by name now, and you always meet a few of your little friends, and it sets me up for the day. It's like my fucking heroine, right? And if you meet a brand new dog, you go, hello, he's never met you before, right? And if you're nice to it, it's just met you, it's suddenly your best, it'd do anything for it. You go, do you need a kidney? They are amazing, dogs. That makes me laugh, that sign people still put on the house. Beware of the dog. That makes me want to go in the house to meet it. So, if you want to keep me out of your house, put up a sign that says, I don't know, beware of the AIDS, you know?
He gestures, hanging a sign.
Although, that's not as good as it was, is it, AIDS? No, seriously, it's like, all diseases let you down, but that was, I mean, in its heyday, it was fucking amazing, wasn't it, AIDS? Coronavirus, fuck off.
He sweeps his hand to the side.
Couldn't hold a candle to AIDS. Like in the 80s, two blokes talk and it would be, oh, we suck my cock. Fuck off, you got AIDS, I'd die. Now it's like, I'll give it here, I take pills for the rest of my life. Do you know what I mean? There's no...
He gestures waning severity, motioning his hands toward the floor.
But the bigots jumped on it in the 80s. You know, the Christian right, or all fundamentalists, actually, like going, this is God's wrath. This is God's punishment for homosexuality. Imagine thinking that. What are you imagining in your head, right, to think that's true? So, you think God's in heaven, do you? And he's looking down on civilization, and he suddenly goes, I'm sick of all this bumming. I I mean, what the... Oh, come on, lads, what?
He stares at the floor derisively.
Oh, look at... I've warned them. It's in the Bible. No bumming. Not in those words. Leviticus 28:11. Any man who lieth with another man as he doth a woman, they are both an abomination and shall surely be put to death. Basically, no bumming, right?
He stares back at the floor.
So, right, they're taking the piss. I've got to do something. Oh, how can I punish? I know. AIDS. You know, like he did with light, just like, oh, what, it's dark, what can I do? Light, right? Let there be light. Same with this, right? Let there be AIDS, right? And there was AIDS, right? Not on Earth, but up in his laboratory, right? So he'd made the AIDS, right? Like, oh, there, right? And he'd go, oh, horrible little things, right? And he'd go, well, there you are. Oh, you couldn't see him, but he could see him there, like that, right? And he went, right, your AIDS. They went, we're what? He went, your AIDS. They went, what's that? It's like the worst disease ever. And they went, ah, brilliant. And he went, Netflix have already bought this. Fuck them, right?
He bares his teeth, growling as the AIDS virus.
Your AIDS. Well, right, what do we do? Right, I want you to kill homosexuals. Why? Because I don't like watching them.
He sweeps his hand broadly.
Don't watch them, then. I've got no choice. I'm omnipresent, so...
He gestures everywhere.
I'm watching 50 million people bumming right now.
He signs a headache.
So, you know... Right, then what do we do? Right, I'm going to put you down on Earth. Where?
He makes a goofy face.
Africa.
He nods at the crowd somberly. He voices an AIDS character.
Why Africa?
He sweeps his hand.
They're dying anyway.
He wears a disappointed expression.
That's not me saying that, is it? That's God. That's God saying that.
Portraying AIDS again, he bares his teeth with a silly smile.
Where in Africa? Oh, just in an arse, right? I'm going to put you in... What, in all the shit? Yes. I'm going to put you in an arse, right? That is where you're going to do a lot of your best work through the 1980s.
He gestures pushing something inside a space.
Right. So I'm going to cram you in an arse, right? Right. Then what? Right. If a cock comes in, that shouldn't be there, right? Get in the cock as well. Well, all of us know. Some of you get in the cock, some of you stay in the arse in case another cock comes along.
He points in the space.
And if I know this arse, there will be another cock.
He nods, laughing.
Right, so some of us get in the cock, some of us stay in the arse. Yeah. Then what? Kill them both.
He holds both hands out to his sides.
So kill all homosexuals. Exactly. What, even lesbians? No, not lesbians. Right? Why?
He shakes his head.
Because I like watching them.
He sweeps his hand broadly, motioning to the floor below. He takes a sip.
But all diseases let you down eventually, not just AIDS. After AIDS, it was SARS, wasn't it? Remember SARS? Oh, gonna wipe out humanity. Didn't. Then, Ebola, the flesh-eating disease. Well, oh, Ebola's come to London. Some nurse got hot for the weekend and that was it, right? Then Zika virus. Remember the baby's born with, like, half a head? I was going, oh, Zika virus, don't worry about it. Oh, I'm pregnant. Start knitting a hat. You know?
He mimes knitting.
Talking of abortion, now, I don't want to divide the room, but I'm pro-choice. I don't think it's anything to do with me or any other man what a woman does with her body, right? But on the... thank you. On the flip side of that, there are people who are anti-abortion. I don't just mean people who wouldn't have it for themselves. That's choice. I mean, I don't want anyone to have it. And of those, there's a small percentage that are really militant. And of those, there are a small percentage that are fucking... There's ones in America that are like terrorists. They bomb abortion clinics and put fetuses through your door. And they've got this propaganda machine. The same thing as liberals, they're aborting babies at 9 months, pulling them out of the vagina and liquidising them, like crazy conspiracy theory, right? And now they've got the internet. So they've got, like, fonts and memes. It's like science to them, right? And this thing goes round, right? You've probably seen it, but it goes... I've heard different derivations of it, like this was a real lecture or this was a real questionnaire, right? It's nonsense. It's all made up, right? It goes like this. It goes, a woman is pregnant. She already has 5 children. 2 are deaf. 2 are blind. 1 is mentally retarded. She has syphilis. Should she have the baby? No, question mark. Well done. You just killed Beethoven.
He points his finger accusingly.
What are you talking? That makes no fucking sense. at all. Okay, keep it fair. Let's do the opposing side. Okay, there's another woman. She's pregnant, two children, great hearing, great eyesight, really smart. She hasn't got syphilis. Should she have the baby? Yes, question mark. Well done, you just gave birth to Hitler.
He mimes holding up an infant.
No, I don't want to divide the room, but I'm not a fan of Hitler. Hear me out, I've got my reasons, right? Listen.
He holds his hands up.
And it's sci-fi, right? Whenever you see a sci-fi series, there's always one where they invent a time machine and they go back and try and kill Hitler. And if they're successful, they come back to the present and it's worse because they've mucked up the time-space continuum. Of course it is. You change anything, the slightest thing in history, it has a catastrophic effect. I wouldn't change anything, even if I could. My life's too good. I can't take that chance. Do you know what I mean?
He wears a serious expression.
If scientists came to me and went, Rick, we've sorted it, you'd have to go back in the time machine. Just press this button, right? It kills Hitler before the Holocaust, before the war, right? The present is exactly the same, except it makes you a bit more ginger. I go, no.
He signs, pressing a button, then shakes his head.
Why should I suffer?
He opens his arms wide.
But when you see one of those fluff pieces, whenever they ask that question, one of those silly questionnaires that celebrities do, there's always, what's the first thing you do if you had a time machine? They all say, oh, I'd go back and kill Hitler. Really? You'd go back and buy Microsoft shares, you fucking liar, right? I've interviewed people on my radio show in America, right? And I always ask that question for a laugh, and they all say, oh, I'd go back and kill Hitler. I go, you know, people tried at the time, and now they say, oh, no, I'd go back and kill him when he was a little baby. So you'd go back and find baby Hitler, right? Who hasn't done anything wrong yet.
He wags his finger at them.
And just strangle him, would you?
He makes an incredulous face.
Also, have you seen Hitler when he was a baby? Oh, my God, absolutely adorable. Look at that.
He holds his phone out.
Look at his little face.
He displays a baby face.
You go back, you're on a killer, and you go, is that Hitler? Yeah, you go, oh, could you little Nazi, you. I know what you're thinking. Why have I got a picture of baby Hitler on my phone?
He puts his phone back.
That's my business. What if I do masturbate over it?
He shrugs innocently.
What if that's the only thing I masturbate over? There's no victim, no crime. You could call the police right now, have them come round to my house, and they go around and I say, oh, we heard you admitted you're a nonce. I go, yeah, but only for pictures of dead baby Hitler, right? I go, check the rule book. And they go, yeah, good as gold.
He holds out his hands.
I go, do you want to see where I masturbate? They go, yeah, go on, right? So I take them down to the Wanktorium, right?
He mind's going downstairs.
Basically a converted wine cellar, right? But it's that picture blown up 100 times, right? Just around the walls, like that. Dripping with 40 years of cum.
He gestures to the pretend walls.
I've only lived there 5 years, so I don't know. That won't be in. No, but people do have a problem with Hitler.
Ricky scratches his head.
And they want to go back and kill him. And I say, chill. I say, Hitler is the man who killed Hitler, isn't he? Give him his due.
He signs a gun.
Due. D-U-E. I don't worry about dying. Or rather, I don't worry about being dead, because I won't know about it. That is the best thing about being dead. You don't know about it. It's the same as being stupid, right? It's only painful for others, right? I worry about how I die. I don't want to die alone in agony, or I don't want to be found in a wardrobe hanging by a belt wearing ladies' tights covered in amyl nitrate. You know what I mean? I'm not into that shit. So if I am found like that, just know that one of my mates has stitched me up. Right?
He smiles.
No, I don't worry about dying. I don't do anything towards not dying, if you know what I mean. I eat and drink too much every day. I've done for 40 years. Day and night, I eat and drink too much. People say to me, Rick, if you gave up the booze, you'd live an extra 10 years. And I go, yeah, but they're the last 10 years. Oh, they're the shit 10 years. I don't want them, right? If I gave up booze now and I made it to 80, and someone said, right, you can have an extra 10 years. If I could go, oh, great, I'll have 20 to 30 again, that'd be perfect. But no, you've got to have 80 to 90.
He spreads his hands.
Have you any idea how awful it is being 90? Right? I've seen 90-year-olds sitting in an armchair and they suddenly go, ugh, and you go, what? You go, I've broken every bone in me body, right? Because they're brittle. They've got, like, dust for blood. They bruise up blood clots. They've got hernias popping out everywhere, right? If you're 90 years old and you get to the kitchen by yourself to make a cup of tea, if you lift that kettle when it's too full, there's a very good chance your stomach will come out of your asshole. Right?
He wears a terrified expression, feigning misery.
So eat and drink as much as you want and just fucking die is my advice, right?
He slices his hands through the air, signing finality.
I should say I'm not a doctor, right? He's like... I do see a doctor once a year or once every 2 years. I have to have medicals for things like this and TV shows, and I go private, right? It's 600 quid. It's 3 hours long, but they do everything. Blood sample, stool sample, urine sample, ECG, ear, nose, throat, bollocks, the finger, everything, right?
He points his finger.
And you have to fill out this big form, right, a lifestyle thing. That takes fucking ages, right? And you, I tell the truth, I never, except units of alcohol. I work those out, then I halve them, right?
He mimes writing.
And when he gets to those, he still goes, oh, that's an awful lot.
He wears a shocked expression.
And I think I've won. I go, is it?
He laughs.
And at the end of the 3 hours, they've got all the results back from the lab, right? And he's got this big computer. It's like your body composition, right? And from there, they work out your percentage chance of a stroke, heart attack, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years. And mine's always about the same. It always gets worse with age. Nothing you can do about that. But I'm always like... I'm at the end of healthy weight. I'm just nearly obese. I'm just right, oh, like that. I was pre-diabetic once. I had to sort that out. And now I'm pre-gout, right?
He stares straight ahead.
Pre-gout, right? And so he tells you all that, and then he goes, so what are we going to do about this? And I want to go, what do you mean, we? I've just paid you 600 quid, mate, right?
He signs fanning out bills.
You're going to fix it, and I'm going to carry on, right?
He nods.
You don't take a car to the garage and he goes, oh, tyres are bald, the big end's gone. What are we going to do? You're going to fix it, mate, and I'm going to pay you.
He repeats the gesture, wearing a firm expression.
He went once and said, you need more fibre in your diet. I went to go, get me wine with fibre in it, then. You know what I mean? I can afford anything. You must be able to invent that. Just so... He said, you're heavily constipated. I went to go, get in there with a spoon, son.
Ricky smiles, gesturing, making it rain.
And then they always leave it right to the end. They don't even look up. They go, and can I give you a rectal exam? Which means I have to go, yes, please.
He shrugs.
I want to surprise me on the way out. Do you know what I mean? Bye, bye. Oh, and that's fine. Thank you, right?
He points his finger up.
Well, there's a big build-up, right? And as they're washing their hands, they've got to say, would you like a chaperone? No. So you're going to have your finger up my ass, and now you've got a mate watching? No, just do it.
He gestures to get it over with.
And they lay you on this bench, right, on your back to start with, like pants and trousers around your ankle, knees apart like a little frog, right? And they do the balls first, right? And I'm nervous at a doctor, I'm really nervous, so I've got no balls, right? He has to dig them out like a tortoise's head, you know what I mean? It's just like a little fist of fear down there, right? And I fucking hate it. I'm like that, right? I still, it's horrible, right? And then when they turn you on the side and lube you up, go the finger up the ass. That's great, you know. Not great. That's not why I go. But it's me again. You were yesterday. Come on, come on.
He fans the pretend money.
But this one time, it was an old man, and it was still a doctor, not just an old man.
He smiles.
Doctor said he couldn't make it, so I thought I'd have a go, right?
He points his finger up.
It was a sort of, like, old-school GP. He was about 75, little shirt and tie, tweed jacket, right? And he was sitting on an armchair, right? And he didn't put me on the bench. I was just standing up. And he went, oh, just pop your pants and trousers down, right? So I was putting that. So he was a little lad, so he was, like, head height to my balls, right? And, as I say, I'm nervous, doctor, so I jabber, I talk. I think if I put them off, they won't find the cancer. You know what I mean? Right? And so he started doing the balls, and I just went, oh, what are you looking for there exactly, right? And they usually go, shh, and they come. And he didn't. He went, oh, that's a good question. And he sat back, and he started telling me all about cancer, right? So now I'm just having a chat.
He stands, legs parted, looking left to the audience.
And he went on for ages. He was loving it, right? And I remember it felt rude to do that.
He hides his crutch.
So I was going, all right, right.
He runs his hands through his hair. He takes a drink.
I do work out a bit. I actually joined a gym. Literally on my road, I discovered. I've got a gym in my house. I got bored with that. But I thought, if I join a gym, if I pay in advance, like pay a year in advance, right, then I'll try and get value for money and that'll make me go. Then I remembered, oh, I'm fucking rich. It doesn't, you know what I mean?
He wears a deflated expression.
I could join a different gym every day for a laugh. Just go along and go, there's £2,000. Like, I'll see you tomorrow. You'll never see me again.
He feigns an arrogant expression.
And I go about once a month and I sort of do 10 minutes on the machines and I sort of run home like that, right? I don't use the changing rooms there. I've got a thing about changing rooms, public changing rooms. I always have, I know, I'll tell you why. I don't know if it's the same in ladies' changing rooms, but men are so proud of their offal, right? If I'm in a public place, I have a shower, right? 1 minute, towel, corner, pants on, right? There's blokes walking around naked before the shower, talking to each other, after the shower. There was one bloke in the shower way too long, right? It was ages, right? And he got out, no towel, just dripping wet, just went up to the mirror and started doing his hair first.
He mimics the men strutting.
I was in there with there was just me and this really fat bloke once in the change room. I was getting changed, and he was there, and he was really big, like 350 pounds, right? And he was naked on one of those precision scales. And he was there for fucking ages. That, and I was looking at that. He was that for ages. I wanted to run up and go, mate, you're never going to be an astronaut, right?
He shakes his head wide-eyed.
It doesn't need to be this accurate. Just pop some pants on and take a fucking gram off. And I'm not having a go at fat people. I say, I'm fat. I'm overweight. Do you know why? Because I eat and drink too much. That's what does it. I don't judge fat people. I just know how they got fat. If I see a fat person, I go, well done. You know?
He gives a thumbs up.
You've eaten way more than you'll ever need, same as me, right? If I see a fat couple, I go, yeah, that works, right? But then as they're walking along, right, and you see their little fat toddlers, and you go, ah, that's not fair, right?
He holds out his hand sympathetically.
And the mother always goes, they love cake. Of course they love cake. They're baby mammals. We're the same species as we were, like, 200,000 years ago. We've got a hunter-gatherer brain, right? All this affluence is so much faster than our human biology. So when you get one of those cakes from the supermarket that's packed with fats and sugar, your brain goes, fucking hell, that's amazing. Keep eating that. There might not be food tomorrow. But there will be food tomorrow. The fridge is full and your mum's on the phone to Ocado. You know what I mean? And
he signs, making a phone call.
Now there's even a stigma. Like, doctors get in trouble for saying to someone, you're overweight or obese. They go, no, that's a political thing. No, it's like fat shaming. It's not fat. You don't get cancer shaming. He's trying to save your life, right? There was a school that tried to ban the word obese because they said it was derogatory to, I don't know what to call them.
He wears a blank expression.
Round children, right?
He signs roundness.
But that's the polite word. That's the word we invented, so we didn't say fat little fucker. Don't keep changing words because one person gets offended. Also, fat people aren't offended by the word obese. They did it all. They're happy with it. They're jolly, aren't they? They're jolly. You know, you see a fat person, all right, fatty. Yeah.
He smiles, waddling.
Yeah. Bloop, bloop, bloop.
He gestures being obese.
Yeah. And they go to the doctor. Come in.
He mimes sitting in a chair.
Doctor goes, fuck me. Oh. Am I obese?
He scratches his beard.
No, you're morbidly obese.
He laughs joyfully, eyes closed.
What does that mean? Means you're going to die of it. Oh, does it?
He adopts a grave expression.
What, straight away or? No. You've got diabetes, so you're having your legs amputated soon. And then if you carry on, you'll die later of, like, stroke and respiratory, heart failure. So, all right.
He grimaces.
Is there anything I can do? Oh, yeah, of course there is. You could start working out and eat healthy, you'll be right as rain. Oh, right. But you won't, will you?
He mimes the doctor poking at the patient.
No.
He shakes his head.
And I feel sorry for them, even though it's their fault. When you see one of those documentaries on telly, like the 600-pound man or something, and he's being winched out of his house to go to hospital, right? If you're dangling from a crane, right?
Ricky mimes dangling, letting his arms hang.
Right. And you see a film crew, right?
He points straight ahead. He shakes his head somberly.
You know you fucked it.
He stands and paces.
And then, you know, as I say, then they wake up the next day and they've had their legs amputated. It's really sad, and they're crying, and I'm crying. They go, oh, God, why did I let it go this far? I'm so stupid. Then they get philosophical about it, and they go, I never really used the legs. So...
He wears a thoughtful expression.
And well, then it's lunchtime, and so, you know...
He shrugs.
And they go to the nurse, you didn't throw them legs away, did you?
He looks back over his shoulder for the legs. Ricky takes a drink.
Guys, do you ever act more working class around builders? I do. I can be walking around Leafy Hampstead, right? Book of Poems, right? Scarf, right? Just humming Brahms, right?
He motions his scarf.
And if some scaffolders go, Ricky, I go, all right, you cunts, how you doing, boys?
He adopts a blurry swagger.
And I don't know why I did. Why am I trying to impress them? I've always been fascinated with human behaviour, right? But as I said at the beginning, we're the only species that allows the universe to understand itself. But we see all nature through our eyes. So it all comes back to us. Why are we here? What makes us? Is it our genetics or the environment? The old nature versus nurture argument. The psychologist Piaget was once asked, what's more important for the intellect of a person, nature or nurture? And he famously replied, what's more important for the area of a field, length or width? All right, mate, if you don't know the answer, just fucking...
He shrugs, wearing a serious expression.
But psychology, psychiatry, neuroscience, it's still in its infancy. And we still know so little about the brain. And 150 years ago, we knew nothing. It was just, it was all guesswork, right? And, everything was just mental. If you weren't a white, sort of heterosexual, married Christian man, right? If you deviated too far from that, mental. They just went mental, like that. Like homosexuality, mental illness, you were put in an asylum for life, or worse, tortured. Women who fell pregnant out of wedlock, mental, asylum for life, right? And now we understand things more, we're more tolerant, I think it's going too far the other way, though, because now nothing's mental. You can't find somewhere that someone's... Nothing is considered mental. Everything is a syndrome or an addiction or a preference, right? I could have my legs removed, have wheels put on, identify as a pram, right?
He stares straight ahead.
And if you say I'm mental, you're a bigot, right? Now...
He points at the crowd accusingly.
That's a bit hack, that joke, now, isn't it? Oh, identify as a thing, then, right? It's a bit old-fashioned, right? But I'm going to leave it in to annoy people, right? Because that's the bit that'll offend people. Same as humanity. I talk about AIDS, famine, cancer, the Holocaust, rape, paedophilia. But no, the one thing you mustn't joke about is identity politics. The one thing you should never joke about is the trans issue, right? They just want to be treated equally. I agree. That's why I include them.
He brings his hands to his chest in a welcoming gesture. He waves his left hand away.
But they know I'm joking about all the other stuff, but they go, no, he must mean that, right? Like a joke is a window to the comedian's true soul. It's just, that's just not the case. I'll take on any view to make the joke funniest. I'll pretend to be right-wing, I'll pretend to be left-wing, I'll pretend to be clever, I'll pretend to be stupid, whatever makes the joke funnier without prejudice. Okay, full disclosure, in real life, of course I support trans rights. I support all human rights, and trans rights are human rights, you know? Live your best life, use your preferred pronouns, be the gender that you feel that you are. But meet me halfway, ladies, lose the cock. That's all I'm saying.
He holds his hands up in defense. Ricky Pace is smiling.
And it's mad to think joking about someone means you're anti it. Like, I made a joke about self-ID. But in fact, I wish self-ID had been around when I was a kid. I'd have used it to get shit. I'd have gone to my mum, Mum, I'm trans. She'd have gone, what? I'd have gone, I'm either trans or I need a new bike.
He holds a pretend handlebar.
She'd have gone, you need a new bike. I'd have gone, you're the boss.
He shrugs.
But I grew up in the 60s, Jesus.
Ricky takes a drink.
I had like Victorian parents, we hadn't heard of any of this. But what if I was a teenager now? In these really woke, progressive times, right? And I had really cool, hippie parents, right? And I went, Mother, Father, I'm trans. They'd go, oh, goody, that's so fucking trendy, right?
He fake claps.
And my dad would go, Bagsy, I picked the vagina. I go, thank you, Daddy.
He motions, hugging his dad.
Right. Then there'd be like a montage, right? And I'd go to hospital, I'd have all the electrolysis, I'd grow my hair, right? I'd have a big fanny, I think. No, if someone else is paying, I'll have a big one, you know what I mean? Like, dad trying to buy me a minge, fuck you, dad, right? I'd have a big fanny, boobs, right? Right.
He gestures a large vagina.
No, I'd come out and I'd emerge. I'd be a real woman. I'd be Vicky Gervais. Right?
He flips his hair.
Yeah, and I'd be a real woman, right? And you can't change your sexuality, so I find women attractive. So I'd be a lesbian. I'd be a little lesbian fella called Vicky Gervais, right? And probably be a butch lesbian because of all the testosterone up till then, right? Also, I like the fashion. Jeans, black T-shirt, short hair, beard. I'd be a real lesbian called Vicky Gervais, lesbian about town, right? And so I'd go down to Brighton, right? And I'd go into a lesbian bar, right? And I'd go, hi, pool table, winner stays on. I'll be there all fucking night.
He pretends to shoot pool aggressively.
Right.
He stares straight ahead.
This joke isn't worth it for the punchline. The punchline is shit, really. So just enjoy the journey, right? Right. So I'd look around and I'd find one of them pretty lesbians, right? This is so childish and misinformed. It hurts, right? I'm going to leave it in, though. Right? So, no, I find a pretty lesbian. This is pathetic, right? Even for me, I can't do this with a fucking straight face. Right. And I go, hi, you a lesbian? She go, yeah. Are you a lesbian? I go, yeah, just a bit, look at that, right?
He pretends to open his fly.
And she go, that is a lovely fanny. I go, fucking cost enough. She go, what? Nothing, right? And then I'd be wooing her, right? I'd be doing all that, like.
He leans over, laughing.
I'd be sort of like complimenting her on her sort of lesy ways. I go, I love your Doc Martens, right? She go, oh, thanks, right? Right? I go, oh, there's the big earrings, aren't they? Right? She go, yeah, right. And then she go, do you want to come back to my place and les off? I go, yeah, just a bit, right? So we go back, we get naked, I'd boob her up, I don't know what you do, I'd minge her off. I'd do that one, I'd do that one, definitely do that one, right? I'd Google it, wouldn't I? I'd fucking Google it, right? And then she'd go, oh, do you want to wear a strap-on dildo and give me a good seeing to? I go, yeah, right? So I put a strap-on on, like, I put the big dildo there on my new fanny like that and tie it at the back, and that's when I'd kick myself.
He makes a miserable face pointing down at his crotch. He walks back to take a drink.
I told you it was shit, didn't I? Oh, God. Oh. But one thing that isn't ambiguous, whether it's nature or nurture, is racism, right? No one's born racist. You've got to learn that shit, OK? And, again, I don't want to divide the room. I'm not a fan of racism. No, hear me out, right? I don't care whether you're black, white, brown, European, African. You're all going, yeah, that's all right, Rick. Black, white, brown, European, African. What about the fucking Eskimos? Racist, right? They're fucking weird, Rick. They are not weird. They're just different. They live in the snow. Yeah, that is their little house, the snow. So, right? Yeah. They wear a dead sea lion for their clothes. Yes, that's their clothes, a dead sea lion, right? But here's the thing about racism, right? You drag one out of his little hole in the snow and peel him out of his sea lion outfit, right? And he's standing there naked. You take a closer look, he's basically a cold Chinaman.
He shrugs.
So.
He wears a matter-of-fact expression. Ricky stares at the floor, laughing.
I know you can't say Chinaman anymore, right? I can't believe you ever could, because that is the laziest labelling of a demographic I've ever heard, right? So the first one lands on our shores, and we gather around going, what the fuck, where are you from, right? And he goes, China. And we go, oh, you're a Chinaman. And he goes, I'm a what? You're a Chinaman.
He points.
A Chinaman. Yeah. What's my wife? Duh, Lady Chinaman.
He wears an obvious face.
Why don't you call me by my name? I don't know your name, do I? It's Ling. Ling, yeah. Is that your first name or your surname? Both.
He looks back at the pretend man.
Ling Ling? Hello?
He mimes the man picking up his cell phone.
Right, no, right.
He holds his hands up.
Right.
Ricky raises his index finger.
Remember, irony, okay? Also, that's not me saying that, is it? It's a little Chinaman, isn't it? A sec.
He points to the pretend man.
He's all right with it, then. That won't be in. Right, okay. Fucking hell, have I got anything for this fucking special?
He drinks.
Oh, this is all right. Right,
He steps back out from the podium.
Did anyone have a pedo teacher when they were at school? Yes, yeah, yeah. Round of applause for pedo teachers, yeah.
He holds out his arms, mouth agape. He covers his face with his palm.
Fucking hell. Unbelievable. That's another thing. I think whereas people are now trying to be so politically correct, they're trying to outwoke each other, soon someone's going to say, you can't say pedo anymore. It's a derogatory term. It offends people who are child addicted, right?
He leans to his left.
So you're going to have people going to the doctor going, doctor, I think I'm child addicted, right? And doctor go, oh, you poor thing. How do you feel? I feel like I want to fiddle with kids. That is one of the symptoms. But... Don't worry, sit down. We'll get you into a facility at taxpayer's expense, right? And we'll wean you off children. How does that work, doctor? Well, you know, like when they give heroin addicts methadone, yeah? Well, we're gonna start you on dwarves.
He smiles, gesturing something small.
It might work. It might. It might work.
Ricky leans over, laughing.
How does that work, Doc? Well, let me think. I haven't thought it through. Right, OK, no. So, what you do is you come into... We've hired loads of dwarves, right? And we're not open during the panto season. We can't get the staff, right? So, you come in February to November, right? And we've hired loads of dwarves, right? And we've dressed them up as school children, right? And they just run around the campus, right? Run around like they're free-range dwarves. They're little free-range dwarves, right? And they look like they're about 6 years old, right? But they're not. They're above legal age, so you're not breaking the law. And they've been paid, so it's consensual. And you just go up to one you fancy, pull down his little trousers, fiddle his... Is it, hey, doctor, I said I was a pedo. I didn't say I was gay, right? Do you think...
He holds his hands up.
Do you think there's, like, homophobia in the sort of paedophile community? Like, one paedophile, he's all smug, he's heterosexual. He's abducting a little girl, right? He's taking a little girl into the forest. And he looks over and he sees another pedo with a little boy and he goes, you fucking bender.
He pretends to point dismissively.
There's a London borough that tried to ban registered paedophiles living within 1 mile of a school. Now, say what you will about pedos, but they're not lazy.
He wears an annoyed expression.
A lot of them are bus drivers. That's nothing.
He raises his hand to his side.
You know. So, this pedo teacher, right, true story this, it was about 1976, so I was about 14, and looking back, I feel a bit sorry for him, because he was probably late 20s, and there was something wrong with him. He was like a nervous sort of guy, and he was obviously gay, and he had a fling with one of the older boys, who might have been 16, 17, so now would have been totally legal, but then technically a nonce, banished, convicted, never heard of again, big scandal, right? And when it broke, I went home that day, right? My mum was there, and she went, did he touch you?
He folds his arms.
And I went, no. She went, you sure? I went, yeah. She went...
He nods.
He couldn't have fancied you then.
He opens his mouth in a shocked expression.
So now, my mum is winding me up about me not being attractive enough to be sexually abused. Like, what if I'd have got a complex? What if I'd have thought, well, I'll show her, right? I come in at midnight. Where you been? Sucking off bus drivers. That's what you get.
He gestures something in his mouth.
But that was typical of my mum. My mum, she was the salt of the earth, but she just said what she wanted, right? And she'd do anything for you, but she reserved the right to moan about it. So, growing up, right, our next-door neighbour, Mrs. Dawson, she was about 25 years older than my mum. So when my mum was 60, this old lady was already, like, 85, 86, and my mum was the last living witness to her existence. She lives alone, and my mum did everything for her, right? She went shopping for her, she did the housework, she went round, made her lunch and sat with her for a while, she went back, made her tea, and this went on and on. I remember calling home once. My mum was, like, 70, and I went, oh, I called earlier, you were out. And my mum went, yeah, I was right in Dawson's. And I went, oh, how is she? And my mum went, oh, She just won't die, Rick.
He shakes his head, then smiles.
I have very fond memories of growing up in Reading, which is why... Yeah, why I never go back.
He takes a drink.
But wherever I am in the world, I always bump into someone from Reading. They go, oh, I'm a Reading boy. I go, oh, good, and that should be enough. But it never is. They always want more. They say things like, oh, yeah, you know it's Norman Taylor, don't you? I go, I never know this person. I go, oh, no. They go, yeah, he knows you. Yeah, I'm on the telly, mate.
He stares at the floor.
You went to Ashmead School, didn't you? I went, yeah. You know it's Pete Shepherd. Oh, when was he there? 1993.
He nods.
Yeah, I was 31, mate. I was, He knows you, does he? Has he got a telly? Yeah. That's what's happened here. That's what's happened here. But I do like old stories, and I don't tell showbiz stories. They're boring to me. I like real stories. And whenever I'm working up a tour, I try and think of things that has happened to me and how my life's changed. And I thought of one for this tour, and it was hugging, right? No one's been hugging for the last couple of years, right? Which I preferred. I liked that. I never liked hugging. I liked it when you couldn't hug, right? I always felt awkward. I never knew when to hug. I didn't hug anyone growing up. I didn't hug anyone until I came to London. People were like a working class kid on an estate in Reading. You don't hug people. You don't hug your fucking dad or your granddad or your brother. You wind them up, you take the piss. That's our hug, right? I'll give you an example. We were at my dad's funeral and I was out in the graveyard with my brother Bob, right? Bob was having a cigarette, right? And our Uncle Mike came along. We hadn't seen Mike for, like, 25 years. Last time we saw him, he was, like, 50. And now he's, like, 75. He hadn't aged well. He was an old man, right? And he came up to us and he went, hello, boys. And Bob sort of looked at him and recognised him and went, fuck me. Like that, right? And then Bob looked around the graveyard and went, is there any point you going home?
He mimes Bob pointing to his uncle.
Right?
He does a gentle head bow.
And Uncle Mike laughed and went, always nice to see you, Bobby, like that. And that was their hug. Do you know what I mean? I'll give you another example. When I left school, my best mate was a bloke called Mark, right? We did everything together. And we took a year out before we went to college to earn money to get pissed, really. And we did. It was the best summer ever. But then something happened. His grandmother died and he lived with her, so it was a big deal. And he went to the funeral. And the first place he came after, you know, was my house. He sat down in his little black suit and it was just quite... I didn't know what to say. No hugging, right? So I just went, how was it? He went, it was awful. He said, she was cremated and we all went outside to watch the smoke go up and the wind changed and it all blew in our faces, right? And I went, what, in your mouth? And he went, yeah. I went, I took a chance. I said, did it taste bitter? And he went, yeah. I went... That was her clitoris.
He closes his eyes, laughing.
Right?
He shakes his head.
And Mark just went, fucking hell, Rick. Right? And then he started laughing. And we both... And that was our hug. Do you know what I mean?
He gestures hugging.
Oh. I'll leave you with one final story, right? It's another true story. If I say they're true, by the way, they are. I promise, they're all true. And my favourite of the school stories, and this is probably my favourite school story ever.
He takes a sip.
It was 1976 again, so I was about 14. And we had a kid in our class called Gary Masterman. And Gary developed Tourette's syndrome, like every sentence of the swear word. And he had a tic, because we learned all about it in assembly. Gary was up there, all the teachers knew him, all the kids knew him. He was a popular lad, right? And, nice guy, Gary Masterman. But sometimes his tics seemed relevant. And I'll never forget, we were having this lesson with a young female teacher called Miss Wilkie, right? And she was at the blackboard, and she was doing those calling out suggestions. I can't remember what it was about, but she'd go, Simon, what do you think? Yeah, that's good. Yes, that works, yeah. Brian, what do you... Yeah, good, yeah. And she went, Gary. He went, I'll finger you, miss.
He motions up with his middle finger. He stares straight ahead with a serious expression.
And she just went, anyone else?
He mimes pointing around the room.
And she pointed to Sean Dixon, and Sean went, yeah, I'll finger you.
He holds up his hand, wearing a deer-in-the-headlights expression.
You've been amazing. Good night.
Ricky salutes the audience, waving as he walks off stage. Words appear, written and performed by Ricky Gervais. Music written by Ricky Gervais. Live show promoted by Ian Coburn. Additional credits roll. recorded at the London Palladium. Copyright 2021 Netflix Studios LLC and Netflix Global LLC, all rights reserved. Logo appears, Derek Productions Limited. Audio description provided by Roundabout Entertainment, voiced by Andy Salais.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.